This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I am Travis, a retro enthusiast and collector who enjoys the new stuff from time to time. You can find me on the social media at TravPlaysGames. I'm on Twitter and the Instagram.
I am Jake. I am Adam McGaxel on the Twitter and the Instagram. And with me, for the first time, on the Polykill Podcast, Brian, a.k.a. Hokey Briz. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you. I'm Brian Hokey Briz, like you just said, on Twitter and Instagram. Although I don't really use Instagram, so don't bother. On the spectrum from Jake's new stuff and Travis's retro stuff, I lean more towards Jake.
Yeah, you
the
do.
New and shiny. And I'm also the VR guy.
Yeah, he is.
So.
Yeah, VR aficionado. He's also our part-time Polykill blogger. And by part-time, real part-time. Like, once or twice a year, he'll get in there and put one out, a couple right there before Christmas.
Yeah. Started strong and then kind of tapered off. It's true.
Yeah, that happens.
So Brian's going to be on the podcast with us today. And, if you saw us there on Twitter, he tweeted out a little survey about VR. So as you can probably guess, some VR talk is going to be coming down the pipe here very, very soon.
Very soon.
If you're new to the show, we're just some dudes. We talk about beaten games, and we don't really even do that very well. But we like to talk about it. We have fun doing it. So welcome to the journey. You know, it's what it's all about. Off-Kilter 16 will be recorded next week. So if you have those childhood mischief stories, and let's think of some examples, boys. I'll go first. Did you steal all of Mr. Wilson's heart medication and flush it down the sink or toilet, whatever flushes?
Yeah.
You know, it's a Dennis the Menace move.
Right.
Maybe you did that. Or did you shave your balls with your dad's electric razor?
I did never do that.
That is mischief.
You guys didn't do that? I did not do that.
It's the only electric razor in the house until you're 18.
Yeah. I definitely shave my balls, but I just use a straight razor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like a pirate.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I did
you
it
might say that's ballsy.
Yeah, it's definitely ballsy.
Man.
I did it while I was driving, too.
Yeah. I got my hands on everybody else's dad's razors.
I was 12.
While you were driving.
It was a wild time, yeah.
That is crazy. Maybe you blamed another kid for spray painting the side of the church only to see that child caned to death. And you can come clean about that now. So send all those in. Email all those to
But Polycom. Make sure they're real, not jokes like these.
Yeah, make sure they're real. None of those were anything that
those were jokes.
None of those were teasers for the upcoming podcast. But now's the time
we
to come clean.
Do not advocate caning minors.
Don't cane a minor, and please leave your dad's electric razor, especially because most of you are in your adulthood.
Hopefully.
Don't be taking your 73-year-old dad's electric razor and shaving your fucking balls with him. That's hateful. Very hateful.
I like it.
But email all of those to polykillpodcast@gmail.com. We would certainly appreciate it.
Yay, hey.
I think that's it for most of the house cleaning stuff.
I think so, but don't forget you just dropped a brand new pickup video.
I did. I was going to get to that here in the recent pickups and on the
so
radar.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But that's a good segue.
It is a great segue.
All right.
That's why I was only a little bit mad, is that I picked up a few games, notably from that pickup video that I just released, Champions of Norrath.
I don't even know what that is.
It's made by the same studio that made Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1.
Ah, okay.
And
was that Obsidian?
Snowblind Studios.
Okay. So not Obsidian.
Not Obsidian.
Yeah.
It's top-down action RPG hack and slash goodness that I like. You know, very Diablo-esque, but for the console.
Gotcha.
It's published by Sony. It's pretty good so far. When we were playing it, it's striking how similar to the Baldur's Gate that it is. So
very
really
cool.
Enjoying it. Darkwing Duck, that's a big one on my list. It's just one of those Capcom Disney crossovers from the NES era that are just always, you know, good quality.
Very cool.
And Metroid Prime, which a game that you and I could probably talk a little bit about here a little later in the show, but I picked that up
right
as well. So those were my three key pickups. Did either of you two pick up any games at all?
You know, I didn't really pick up anything. You know, I'm still doing the whole abstinence from game buying. I don't know if in general that everyone has forgiven me for getting Monster Hunter World, if they agree that it wasn't really a purchase since I canceled a pre-order. I don't know how everyone landed on that. Just let me know. But still haven't bought anything. You forgave me? Okay. All right. That's all that matters.
I mean, if you get 6 months out of the year where you don't buy a game, is that the same thing as not buying a game for 6 months?
I mean, it is.
You never said 6 months consecutively.
You're accurate.
I don't even know why I'm helping you out. I hated that you bought that game, but it's okay. I'm happy that you're having fun with it.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
What did you pick up, Brian?
These aren't necessarily recent, but they're the most recent thing I picked up. I got Quantum Break Collector's Edition on PC. I picked that up for like a cool $10 or $15.
Oh, that was a very
clearance.
Cool. Yeah.
I picked up Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind on Xbox. I actually
the definitive version, some would say.
Yeah, and I own this game on PC, but I just love it, and I just like having the physical thing on my shelf, you know?
Sure.
And I'm kind of hoping that Xbox is going to make it back compat
you never know.
At some point, and
you
I can
know.
Play it in 4K
on
my 1X.
Sweet.
I also picked up Silent Hill 2 on PlayStation 2. I hear that's the best one. I have never played it.
Heard that
so
as well.
I'm hoping maybe we'll bro-op it sometime.
You know it.
And I picked up Sprint Vector on PC, which is a VR game that is like Mario Kart on skates.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've seen people play this. It seems very active.
Yeah, it is a lot like working out.
Yeah. Sounds awful.
But it's pretty fun.
Nice.
You got to just play it in short bursts, you know?
Right. Interval training, they call it.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Well, so for games that are coming out in the next 2 weeks, the next Polykill cycle, as they say, I think one that all three of us are excited about, it's coming out on 320 Blaze It.
320 Blaze It.
320 Blaze It.
Is Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, boy.
Getting that booty on that ship with your friends.
Yeah.
And when you get that booty with your friends, you got to high-five your friend.
You do.
And so that's what's exciting about it is that I see a lot of shenanigans between especially the three of us and then other members of the club while playing this.
Right.
And it's only days away.
Days away at this point, you know. By the time this comes out, it'll be very, very soon. And you know, I know that there has been some concern about what you do in the game, which I think some of that's been alleviated through people playing the beta. And I imagine that the even more that's going to be alleviated once everyone is playing it, because you populate that ocean with a bunch of pirate ships. I just really just want to be in that world. On a ship with my buddies shooting at somebody else's ship who is with their buddies shooting at me while I'm shooting at them while they're shooting at me. That's really all I want.
And also get shot out of a cannon.
Out of a cannon.
Onto the other guy's ship.
Yeah.
Murder him. Yeah.
Sounds good.
And get that booty.
Get that booty.
Yeah.
Get that booty.
Another one that, we could talk about Sea of Thieves all day, but I'm sure we'll have a whole episode dedicated before too long.
Yeah, yeah.
A Way Out is a game that I'm interested in. It looks like, Briz, you are also as well, too.
Mm.
That comes out on 323.
One of you guys are going to get it, and I can just play with you, so it's not really on my radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means, well, one of us might have to play it twice if we play with each other, and then you.
You can play the other character.
And,
yeah.
There you go. There you go. Spice decisions. It up a little bit. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm really excited about this. How many strictly co-op games have there been since Brothers Tale of Two Sons, and then now this, obviously made by the same developer,
right.
And I really like that.
Right.
Having a big multiplayer experience is one thing, but like one of these tried and true co-op cooperation experiences, Portal comes to mind in this also, so it's exciting.
I like that it's made to be local co-op, so like you can sit down on the same couch and play, and you both get two totally different scenarios on the same screen.
Oh.
I think that's really cool.
I think it's definitely an interesting concept, and one that I don't think is limited to this type of story. I think this type of story is a good way to introduce the concept, but I definitely think that someone else is going to jump on this and makes an entirely new experience using this idea.
It's interesting because I feel like EA, who is publishing this and not developing it,
correct.
But EA has scoffed at the idea of a couch co-op. You know, they've thrown the couch in the garbage. They're ready for you to be sitting in your PC chair gaming with all your buddies wearing a headset.
Right.
And so it's kind of nice to see somebody from within sort of break that mold. And everybody got excited about it because it's like, hey, I can play this with my little brother or my sister or my dad or my mom or my girlfriend here on the couch. And that's what's exciting about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's going to be a fairly short game, but I think it's going to be one of those that are you can play through multiple times and still have a great time.
Sure.
That's my thought.
What else is on your radar there, Briz?
Yeah, what you got, friend?
So I cheated on the radar. This is not coming out in the next 2 weeks.
Mm.
It's actually already out on
Boom.
Early Access.
Roasted.
It's a Deep Rock Galactic. It's a four-player co-op. Sort of Left 4 Dead meets No Man's Sky sort of thing, where you're four spacefaring dwarves on these missions to go digging through planets to find minerals and things, and along the way you're attacked by waves of, I think, like insectoid aliens or something.
Sounds fine. It looks great.
And like all four characters are like a different class. Everybody has like their own role to play. And I've always been partial to co-op games, so this just sounds awesome to me, but it's also the kind of game that I don't want to buy unless three other people are buying
it. Well, you so know, I'm not on at least radar. Until June, unless that's someone right. buys it for me.
Or you should just do the month-skipping bullshit.
I should do that. I should do that.
Again, once again, I'm mad that I keep bringing it up.
Well, there is an hour trial, I think, on these preview games. Okay. So maybe, you know, we can all just like one night download it, play it for an hour, see if we think it's worth the investment of, what is it, $20, $30?
I think so.
It's, you know, that's not a big deal. So yeah, let's do that.
Deal.
Sounds right. good.
Sold.
So we're Deep Rock Galactified.
It sounds awesome, and I really like the lighting engine this thing too. Like I've seen some screenshots and some video footage, and it's like it's sort of not what I consider hyper realistic graphics. It's somewhere in the sort of like low poly slash of not quite voxels, but it looks really interesting. And yeah, I'm game.
Sweet.
I think we just we have a mandate.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Speaking of mandate, what happened the last time we got together, Jake?
Let's check out.
Previously on Polykill, the show gets a makeover as the hosts say goodbye to old segments such as the long play and side quests to make way for a more streamlined show. Additionally, the Just Beat It's get a shift, as only the super Polykillers get a shout out and the rest go to a separate but fun video. Jake caves in and buys a game while Trav beats some shitty fighting games on bad consoles. Free games and their value serves as the topic of discussion.
All right, so that's what happened last time on the show. It was pretty fun with Jake. We talked about the free games and all the value that the free games have with the Xbox Games with Gold and the PlayStation Plus and all that.
I was worried that after a bit it was getting a little too dry, a little too, I don't know, academic and data-centered. But I do think the most interesting thing that came out of that show was not the show, but like the day after it dropped. PlayStation was like, oh yeah, by the way, we're dropping support for PS3 and Vita in a year, so they're sunsetting that support. So that, you know, I thought that was an interesting coincidence,
and it shows that they listen to our podcast.
It does you know I know Andrew House and all those other people that no longer work there listen to it and then called those people that do.
Yeah, because like, hey, we can't think of their names.
I don't know what's his name. He looks like Robert the Bruce.
Oh yeah, from Braveheart. Layden.
Yeah, Sean Layden.
Yeah. Anyway, so coming up next is the completed games segment. So we took away the long play and the side quest segments last time forever for good. And we're promising more fun transitions only for ourselves because we enjoy doing them. Not that you enjoy hearing them at all.
Right.
And we have Brian here to give us some direction on how this is going to be done. He's going to hot drop an idea on us, and Jake and I are going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to have to see what happens.
Yeah, so since this is the first time you guys are doing it, I'm trying to toss you a softball. I think you should be able to beatify this.
We'll see.
Easily.
I mean, who knows?
We're going to beatify it. Okay.
Beatify.
But to make things a little easier on you, I'll give you a little direction.
Direction. Okay.
There's an iconic guitar riff that goes along with this.
Okay. Okay. I like guitar riffs.
It would sound good if maybe you take on the guitar part.
I'll be the guitar.
And then,
I'm your ace for
Trav,
you.
You can jump in with the vocals.
Okay. Because I have good vocals.
You do.
I do great falsetto.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Bulls on Parade.
Okay, I got it. You ready?
No.
Kick it.
Chomp, chomp.
What the fuck
do
is
you
that?
Not know chomp?
I don't know that
chomp,
song.
Chomp.
I
do not know this song. Drop the ball.
Oh, you do the guitar.
You do the guitar. Yeah. Okay. I don't know it.
Beats on Parade! There we go. We did it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do my falsetto on that.
I'm sorry, you didn't.
I would have gone with... Just beat some games.
Oh.
But that's just me.
Beats on Parade. That also works.
Beats on Parade. Okay, true. That's fine. Yeah. Beats on Parade. We're about to parade some beats around.
Yeah.
There you go. I hope that worked out for you.
No, that was great. I had a lot of fun with it.
It's good. It's good.
Jake.
Chaunce. Get this Chaunce. Man some rage.
That's my favorite shit.
God.
His guitar wasn't plugged in. That was the problem. He was just dry strumming.
I was just palm muting.
All right, so games we completed. I completed Roy and his knob.
Where did you beat it?
Beat Roy and his knob. God, that's funny. Boy and his blob.
Nice.
Of course, made by David Crane. The reason I know that is because he writes it all over the fucking games he makes. Mm-hmm. David Crane's this, David Crane's that.
Yeah.
I think Rusty recently talked about that in a video that
David
he did.
David Crane.
Oh, David Crane. So, Boy and his blob. I'd had this on my backlog for a long time. The reason I had started playing it was because when I was a kid, I went to a neighbor's house, saw that kid playing it, and was like, what is this that you're playing? And he was too daft to tell me what he was playing.
No.
Or maybe I just forgot he told me. But either way, I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
Played it years later and was like, I'm actually going to beat this whole thing. Turns out it kind of sucks.
Okay.
Good idea, just poorly executed. The David Crane way is what I call it. I say that's David Craning it.
Okay.
When you have a really good idea and you just half-ass it, okay. But still put your name on it like you're proud.
Fair enough.
If I had to give a tip for how to beat this game, I would say just fucking look it up. Don't waste your time. I think there's a lot of neat stuff to it, but there's like no direction.
Okay.
It's obscure. It's pretty stupid in some regard, honestly. It's almost two games in one. One is a puzzle game where you're feeding this little dude jelly beans and you're making him turn into shit like ladders and bridges and trampolines, and that's fun, figuring that part out. But then the second part is you have to use the treasure you get, buy some vitamins to shoot from a gun called the Vitoblaster, go into outer space, dodge popcorn flying through a cornfield, and get to the final boss, and then figure out how to kill him with, like, a jack. Like a car jack.
That's not how I thought that sentence was going to end. Because it was completely abstract and very, I don't know, whimsical. It's like you got to beat him with the jack.
And I'm not making any of that up. That's like none of that is false.
I mean, I like whimsy, don't get me wrong.
It becomes a side scrolling dodge 'em up. It's just weird.
Ugh.
And I, you know, whatever.
Okay.
So that's one that I beat. I can take another one. I beat a couple.
Do it.
One game I didn't really mean to beat. I bought it and was making sure it worked, and then I just stuck with it for more than 15 minutes and ended up beating it, and that's called Berenstain Bears Camping Adventure on the Sega Genesis.
Is that what that is called?
Berenstain or Berenstain?
No. Is that what it's called?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called Beerstain Bear-Assing Adventure.
Thank you. I worked hard on that.
He did.
Beerstain Bear-Assing Adventure is just another Friday night in Rusty's world.
Who knows?
But you guys are familiar with that parallel universe, right? With the Berenstain Bears, you know, Nelson Mandela's also, is he alive or is he dead?
And was Sinbad the movie called Shazam?
That was that not Shaq?
No.
Who was in Shazam?
Not maybe it wasn't Shazam, but there was this whole thing about...
I thought it was Shaq.
Well, Shaq was in a Genie movie, but a lot of people think that it was Sinbad who was in a Genie movie. And like people swear that it existed, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I get almost
sense, right? Sinbad.
Kind of got that fun geniness. Yeah,
maybe there was a Sinbad in a genie movie, but it wasn't.
I don't know. But I just know it was part of that parallel universe.
Well, you know, there's the spelling of the Berenstain Bears or whatever, but in this universe, this game still sucks.
Okay,
so
good to know.
But I won't say it's not the worst. I mean, you read that and you're like, what are you playing? Like Barney's bunch of Elmo bullshit. It's not terrible. It's not. I played worse.
It's not Home Improvement.
Right. Like it's a decently made game. It's for kids.
Sure.
But, you know, it's okay.
Nice.
But I would say the tip to beating this one's just start playing.
Just don't stop playing.
And then eventually it'll be, I'll beat it.
Oh, nice.
I'll just take the last one.
Do it.
I'll just fucking do it right here in front of you guys.
Just fucking do it.
Stanley Parable.
Yeah. Is it?
God damn it.
Are you not reading?
I have a different sheet because I want my manly wearables, like a cock ring or a fedora.
Yeah, or edible underwear.
Or an edible underwear, sure. Stanley Parable. So this was one that I had to sort of in my back pocket just in case I needed to beat a game that wasn't Berenstain Bears for an episode cycle.
Good job.
And so I pulled this one out, beat on it.
Ace in the hole.
At first, I was a little underwhelmed because I was like, I think actually my first, you guys both played this?
No.
Yeah.
You've not played this.
Right.
I don't think there's any... I don't think I can spoil anything.
I don't care if you do. I'm not going to play it.
Okay. Fine.
Now, I don't know about them.
Well, no. I don't think I can spoil it because there's too many fucking endings. To spoil it would tell you how to finish it every single time. It's not the ending. It's the way you... Yeah, whatever. Let me just talk about it a little bit.
Journey.
So, the first time I played it, I kind of was just kind of running around this office trying to do everything. And you're supposed to like listen to the narrator and he's like, Stanley did this, and then you're kind of expected to do that. But I didn't. I was like, ooh, let me run around and click on everything.
Let me do what I do.
And the hallway that I was supposed to go down turned into a closet, and I couldn't go in there. And I wondered, did that happen to you? Because is that a glitch?
No, I think that's one of them R. Kelly things, right?
Oh, no, not peeing on people in closets.
No.
Tripped on a closet.
Did the narrator say something like, Stanley walked into a closet because he's an idiot?
No.
Because
everything
happens.
Stopped. I think it fucked up. Okay. And then I restarted, and then he was like, welcome back, like I'd been there before, but it was better. So I don't know if I glitched on the first try or what, because the first time I was like, this game sucks. But then the second try, I like listened to him and finished it. And then I was like, well, this still kind of sucks. It's like really short, and I didn't feel resolved. So I went through and played it again, and I got that what you're supposed to do is anything you want.
Yeah.
You're supposed to go through and sort of go against the narrator on occasion and ruffle feathers that way, and it becomes really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed it at that point. And so I tried to finish it as many ways as I could. It's still short and sweet. Like 45 to, whatever. It's still 45 minutes to an hour. You could probably get a lot of the endings that way. I looked up a flow chart of all the different endings, and there were a lot more than I could have ever imagined. And some of them, like the ways to get them, were more than just, you know, going down the right hallway instead of the left hallway. It was like standing one spot for 15 seconds and let him finish and then walk or something like that. Like, it got really tricky. So there's a lot in there. If you ever want to go back and do more, there's tons.
I did about three endings when I played it, and I felt like that was enough. I felt satisfied. I got the gist of the game.
Yeah.
I didn't want to dig too much.
I restarted it and tried to, as many times as I saw a fork in the path, I went back and tried to take that. And it got really crazy at some points, like some confused endings where you it just goes crazy, and it's really interesting. Also, because of that, I got kind of, you remember when we used to do the old bleed indie bits, like 58 polykills ago?
A long time ago.
So I went through and downloaded as many under an hour of those games as I could, just to have in my pocket. It might be something I come back to in the future, because they're kind of fun.
Okay.
So
very nice.
To the tip for Stanley Parable: beat it the right way, and then beat it all the wrong ways, and that's how you get the most out of that game.
Cool.
All right, who's up next?
I guess it's probably Briz, because I didn't beat anything.
Well, that's good, because the game I beat is Call Out Jake for Sucking.
Oh,
or Fallout 4 VR.
Call Out Jake for Sucking. Call Out Jake 4, Fallout 4. You get it, Jake?
Yeah, I got it.
You suck because you didn't beat any games.
Fine.
So I've been playing this game a lot since it came out last December, and it was like my most anticipated VR game, like since I've bought it or since they announced it.
Okay.
I put 100 hours into it, and last night I went on a marathon session.
A beat spree.
Yeah, I could finish it for this podcast, so...
That's more than Jake does for this fucking show.
It's not true.
That's what real effort is like, Jake.
Good to know.
And I loved it. This game is the perfect game for VR. When you play VR, you want to be immersed in like this world. You want to have a lot of interactions and a lot of different things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this feels like. Now, somebody might say, well, all you do is kill shit in this game.
Not necessarily.
There's a lot of like exploring and the settlement building, and there's lots of little distractions. And I spent a lot of time just walking around and seeing what I could find.
Gotcha.
And often that would pay off in finding some really cool dungeon with something really neat inside, or... I really loved it, and even though I beat it, I'm still planning on playing it some more. I just wanted to get those creds.
I gotcha.
And we'll definitely talk more about the VR component in general a little bit later, but just curious, since you had played and beaten the game in the past in standard sit-down in front of your couch mode, did you find that things that you had done before were better in VR, like some of the same missions and same areas?
So the main difference for me was... So when I played it on Xbox, I actually played pretty much through all of the factions. So I pretty much did everything that you could do. But when I played it on the flat screen, I used VATS all the time.
Gotcha.
Like, I pumped up all my stats and VATS so that I could get headshots from 300 yards away and just like obliterate people. But in VR, the way that VATS worked initially was a little buggy. Like, it was hard to maintain. If you're trying to get a headshot, it was hard to get the thing to stay on the guy's head, because it's based on where you're pointing your controller. So, you know, a little bit of movement at 100 yards,
surveyor's error.
Like, it'll jump around to different parts,
and they're still moving, right? Slowly, but
yeah So I completely abandoned VATS in VR. I thought it was going to be the thing that I did.
Yeah.
Like slow motion, bam, bam, is going to be awesome.
John Wick.
But I just completely stopped using it and just freehand shot everything, and it was awesome. Like, it felt a lot more action-oriented that way.
Yeah, just like I would think so.
Ducking behind walls and just shooting and, you know, never slowing down the pace of the combat to take a specific shot or anything, and I think that made it better.
The plus I can see to VATS is if you're getting just bull rushed by like a horde of ghouls and you just want to slow them down and get a head count and get some shots off like before they take you
like
over.
When I play, I generally don't use VATS unless it's to, like, if I'm getting shot and I don't know where from.
Right.
I kind of use it to like isolate where the threat is.
Yeah.
I use it as sort of my wasteland binky. Like, I would just constantly hit it just to see if I could find something to shoot at, and then I would just focus on them and go after them. So cool. So
also Wasteland Binky, that's my new band.
Nice. Yeah. So that takes us into the Poly Killers. Mm. So people that use the hashtag.
Just beat it.
Hashtag just beat it. It included a screenshot of the game that they had just beaten, and then maybe a little blurb, a little bit about the game. And so we're using this part of the podcast to talk about the supreme beaters, the Poly Killers, the ones that beat the most games,
the
and then everyone
murderers.
Else, the mass murderers, and everyone else will go into the Just Beat It video that the three of us will be recording after this show that you'll find there on YouTube, under our new YouTube URL. So I'll go first.
Go for it.
The Retrolectors, at Retrolectors, finished Gears of War 4, River City Ransom, and Baseball Riot. Baseball Riot is just like regular old baseball, except the bats are police wands, and instead of balls, they use tear gas canisters.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, you get it, though.
I get it.
You get it, though.
I understand it.
You're up.
Kyle at Doplick, who can fit three of anything you can fit in your pocket in his mouth, got credits on Shining Soul, Sonic 3D Blast, and Wonder Boy and the Dragon's Trap.
What do you got in your pocket right now?
Like 35 cents.
So he could get a whole dollar in his mouth.
He could get a whole dollar.
I'm not even impressed. What about you? Yeah. You got anything good over there?
I got my cell phone. iPhone 6. Can you fit that? Three of those in your mouth?
Yeah, I think so. I
could
think
do
so.
That.
I'm not even impressed.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty big.
What do you have in your pocket?
Giant dicks.
Oh, hell. Nice.
Why are we surprised?
All right, you're up, Bruce.
All right, Santiago at Santiago QRG, who sets aside 15 minutes each day to watch that weird bald gag scene in Pulp Fiction, recently wrapped up both Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2, as well as Red Dead Redemption.
Very nice. I feel like we influenced Santiago here a little bit.
If we didn't...
You know, I mean, that's coincidental.
You mean the awesome. Ball gag scene?
No. The yes,
yeah.
The ball gag scene.
Yeah, that's
scene.
Exactly... what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. Our YouTube's been hot lately because of that.
Yeah. We're about to go medieval on the ass.
And finally, the supreme Poly Killer, Jeffrey at Self Destructo, this episode's Mass Poly Killer, once divided by zero and now has two butts, put a bow on. Gotta keep them simple sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games to read. Put a bow on Legend of Zelda, Link Between Worlds, New Super Mario Bros. 2, Yoshi's Woolly World, River City Melee, and Spirit Camera The Cursed Memoir.
Wow, that last one sounds really strange.
I wonder if sounds like Fatal Frame.
Feels like an adventure game, maybe. Like, maybe it's point and click.
I feel like it's very shiny. I don't know. I could be wrong.
What?
Like, I feel like on the box art where it says Spirit Camera, The Cursed Memoir, I feel like that font has like a gleam to it.
You should start.
I'm going to Google that. I have to.
What you think games look like.
That's way too much work. I just like describing it.
Fair enough. All right. So that's been the people that just beat games. Thanks to everybody who hashtagged their Just Beat It.
Mm-hmm.
And please check out that video that will be coming soon that we're going to have a little bit of fun with for the rest of the Just Beat It that were submitted. All right, so it's time
it
for...
It has gleam.
Does it?
It does.
So you've seen it before.
You I have not.
You have not.
I have not.
This is like your special power.
Yeah.
Huh.
Boom.
Okay. Now it's time for Restocking the Log. Restocking the Log.
Wow. Wow.
Will somebody else talk?
I'll talk. So leading off, you know, I told everyone I'm not buying games. I'm going to bring that up again. However, I do have Game Pass, so at the... when month change from February to March, there was an allotment of new games added to the Game Pass library, and one of those is Super Fucky's Tale. I like you giggling like a 3-year-old.
It's funny because nice. I wrote it in there. I wanted to hear you say
it. You're welcome.
It reminds me, have you seen Trailer Park Boys at all?
There's the guy.
I mean, enough.
The guy with the thick bubble glasses, bubbles. Yeah. Bubbles, he, yeah. He says, he always says something's fucky.
Yeah.
And that just, that's what I think of when you say it.
I like it. So those of you who have not played it or have not even seen it, it's kind of like a callback to those old mascot 3D platformers of the 90s, like your Spyro or your, I don't know,
Crash,
maybe
Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot, your Gex a little bit, maybe something like that, where it's very brightly colored and kind of low poly, but still cool. Art. Things are very simple. You collect coins and jump on heads to kill things. Little secret missions. It has some pretty interesting level design. Like some of the level designs are like somewhat open 3D spaces, not fully open world, but something like along like a Super Mario 64 level or something like that. And then some of them are 2D, which more like 2.5D since they're 3D models, but on a 2D plane. And there's some that are almost like an endless runner. Style level. So, but you're just sliding and you have to like jump over things and do platforming. So it's got some diverse level design, which is pretty fun. But one of those things will take maybe 4 or 5 hours to beat. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's one of the few things. You remember that, that like sizzle reel that Xbox did? I guess it was last E3.
Yeah.
That's like one of the games, one of the few that actually stuck with me.
Yeah. I think this one's
just looked different than the rest of them. It felt Nintendo-y.
Oh, it's very, very Nintendo. Really surprised this isn't on Switch. You know, if Yooka-Laylee made it over there, I'm sure this could make it over there. But it's kind of in that vein.
Yeah. I guess Microsoft wants to take their exclusives and run away with them at this point.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm maybe like an hour or two into it and having some fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have Hemorrhoid Slime.
Yep. I don't even know what that is.
You know, it's funny. I have to actually go back and look to figure
you
out
want
what
me to tell you what it was?
Oh, it's Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime.
Yes.
Hemorrhoid Slime. That's good.
Yeah,
also another great band name.
Hemorrhoid Slime.
You need to catch that clip in the audio where Travis says, I have Hemorrhoid Slime. And,
yeah, I do have
save
it.
Save that one.
I will. Put it on my Travis soundboard that I have.
We're going to become that kind of podcast.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, we've been playing that, Jake. What have you thought about it so far?
It took me a minute to get used to the controls. You know, I instantly wanted to dual thumbstick that shit, but it's not. So I do really like the combat in the game. It feels very tactile for some reason to me. It's like when you lock on and then you start tapping A to shoot, it feels good. Like it feels very arcadey and fun. I really think that so far the translation of the Metroid level design from 2D to 3D makes a lot of sense. It's obviously been replicated a lot since this game, and I've played many games like it. But going, you know, in my brain back to Super Metroid and then jumping to this, it's like, this feels like an organic progression.
And it seems like, at least at the point that we're at, most of the map really hinges around that initial where your ship is, that hub.
Yeah.
Which is similar to Super Metroid.
Yeah,
so it
exactly.
is very reminiscent in a lot of ways. And yeah, I've enjoyed it. I don't think I have anything to add. We didn't play it too long, but I've enjoyed what we played.
Agreed.
What about you, Brian? You got one?
You're stuck at low.
Yeah. I might say a couple of them here.
Do it.
I added Grime.
Nice.
And Rinse the Tomb Raider.
Oh.
She's dirty.
So, she's dirty.
Yeah, I know. If you look at that box art, she looks like she could use a shower.
Filthy.
I'll help her out. Rime and Rise of the Tomb Raider.
All right.
And I got those both on Game Pass.
Yay. Now, so, have you played either of these yet? Or you just downloaded them and kept playing Fallout?
I downloaded them and kept playing. I tried to get those credits this podcast.
Some of us stay focused, Jake.
Yeah.
Some of us don't.
Some of us have ADD.
I don't know why I just started that. Like, I've been watching this Canadian trucker show. Jake, some of us get, we want, I don't know, had a twinge of my accent there.
Yeah,
but
what that was.
I'll take another one. If you were done, Brian, I'm sorry. I jumped in there.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Champions of Horrash, which used to be Champions of Norrath. I mean, we're getting loose on these, but I'm having fun with it. No, I'm not even mad. Like I said, my wife and I have been playing that one, so we've been playing Horrash together.
Yeah, I like it.
The jokes.
It's 2018.
We play Horrash. Get over it. But more interestingly, since I've already talked about Champions of Norrath, is Coca-Cola.
This is my favorite that I've seen so far.
That's your favorite
Coca-Cola.
Sabotage?
Coca-Cola. That's so perfect.
It is a good one.
It's
it is good.
Perfect.
Now, if I may, I'm going to read a little bit about the Dyatlov Pass incident.
Do it. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
It is interesting.
And it's what this game is based on. So the Dyatlov, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Dyatlov, how would you say? You're an expert in Russian.
I would say Dyatlov.
Dyatlov Pass incident refers to the unsolved deaths of 9 ski hikers in the northern Ural Mountains in the Soviet Union between February 1 and 2nd in 1950.
1969. The experienced trekking group had established a camp on the slopes of Kolat Siaki.
Do
your Russian shit.
Wow, that was Mexican.
I'm not good at stuff. In an area now named in honor of the group's leader. So during the night, something caused them to tear their way out of their tents and flee the campsite while inadequately dressed for heavy snowfall and sub-zero temperatures. After the group's bodies were discovered, an investigation by the Soviet Union determined that six had died from hypothermia, while the other three showed signs of physical trauma. One victim had a fractured skull, two had major chest fractures. Another team member was missing her tongue and eyes. The investigation concluded that an unknown compelling force had caused the deaths. Numerous theories have been put forward. It's kind of one of these conspiracy theory generators at this point. A lot of lore and legend behind it.
Yeah.
But the unexplained deaths, they've included animal attacks, hypothermia, avalanche, infrasound-induced panic, military involvement, any combination of those, whatever.
All right, back up a second. Slide up where you were reading. Unknown... What was this? What'd you say?
Compelling force.
Unknown compelling force. That is broad as fuck.
Yeah. Avalanche. Avalanche.
That's everything.
That's everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's gravity.
It's anything that is unknown.
Well, that's what they said. They said the investigation concluded that an unknown compelling force had caused the deaths, and numerous theories included the other things I listed.
Yeah. So I got hung up there. I really like that terminology.
But it's fucking awesome. And they found like a lot of the tents were cut from the inside.
Her tongue and eyes were gone.
But it's crazy. They cut their tents from the inside. Like, they didn't just like undo they didn't have time to undo the zipper.
Yeah,
you understand?
They sliced out.
Like, they ran out of a tent when it was sub-degree temperature, barefooted, scared to death of something. So so that got me interested in this game called Kolat. And then, of course, Coca-Cola. Brian and I recently started. We got, you know, maybe an hour and a half, hour into it. Mm-hmm. And so far, it feels walkie semi.
Yeah, it's
they're called FPXs.
FPX.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to degrade it. It's Walkie Semi is also not what anybody else has called it.
That sounds like a national park.
Walkie Semi.
I went up to Walkie Semi.
Yeah.
Saw that geyser.
So it's not exactly. I thought there would be a little bit more action and a little more like night terrors, but it's very much broad daylight walking around with a map and compass so far.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll get scarier.
We're early days.
We're very early.
Creepier.
Yeah.
You gotta have that tinge.
But it draws in a lot of the story into it. They talk a little bit about what's going on. So I'm super into it. So that was how I got interested in a video game based on a Wikipedia article.
There you go. Good to know.
You had something else, Brian?
Yeah, what else do you have?
Yep. I added Splatman! Telltale series.
Nice.
AKA Batman.
Yeah. Was this the first set or the second set or both?
This is the first one.
First one.
I actually bought this a while ago when it was on sale for like $5.
I did the same.
And I've been meaning to play it.
Mm.
Just, you know, Fallout.
Yeah, it happens. You know?
So now that Fallout is done and I probably won't be playing it every night, maybe I'll find some time for, you know,
other
just
games.
Low-key...
Low-key Splatman.
Story-based kind of thing, yeah.
Nice.
You got three kids. You've been Splatman before.
Yep, many times.
Also, for me, lastly, Stoutmast 2.
Yeah,
Outlast 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stoutmast is good. It's like a horny boat.
Right. I was thinking like a rigid penis.
Well, okay. But Outlast 2, sequel to Outlast 1. Yeah. Brian and I played Outlast 1 together.
Yeah,
that one felt scarier to me earlier. This one seems not as intense, not as... haven't had to rely on our parkour abilities as much yet.
Now, the first Outlast was, what, 3 to 4 hours?
A little longer.
Do you know the length of this one? Was there, like, a longer build-up to the horror?
The first Outlast took us about 6 to 7 hours, okay. I think. And this one, I read, is just, like, a little bit longer, 8 to 9.
Just a tidbit.
So maybe, like, a chapter or two longer.
Okay. Curious.
Real pretty game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It's great. I feel like the first one... threw you into harm's way earlier because I remember like one of the very first situations you get in where you have to turn on these generators in the basement and there's some really angry guy down there that chases you around and he does not give up easily. In the new one, it seems easier to get away and hide. So if you manage to sprint away from a guy and duck into a barrel or something, it's easier to get away and keep...
Environmentally, this one's a little more open, too, right?
I was going
to
say that. I think one of the differences is it's not as claustrophobic. The other one, like, you're in this danky, dark prison. The other one was extremely dark because you were inside, like, these underground cellars.
I played it a bit, so I have, like, some exposure to
it. And this one, at least you have, like, the moonlight or there's torches places, so it's...
don't know. It's a little bit of a different flavor. I don't dislike it.
That's
it's
good,
just
though.
I'm curious as to when it's going to ramp up, because so far it's not been too bad.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's been our log. We've restocked it.
And
if you
restocked.
Want to restock your log.
This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech. That's info@cowden.tech.
Thank you so much, Brian. And
no problem.
If you're liking what you're hearing, or if you don't, and you're just, you know, like things on in the background.
You're trapped.
Yeah. Either way, if you like what you hear, or if you don't, if you just like something on the background. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/polykillpodcast. You can also check us at cartridgeclub.org. That is short for organism.
Orgasm.
Mm-hmm. You can also see all of our content, our videos, blogs, links to our podcast audio at polykill.com. If you want to send us a message, drop us a note, send us a story for Off Kilter, just send those on over to polykillpodcast@gmail.com. The podcast is now also on Spotify, so you can follow us there. Also, don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, give us stars, thumbs up, I love you, hearts, whatever. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We now have our own URL, youtube.com/polykillpodcast. All right.
Right on. And that takes us into...
Yeah, what are we doing?
A segment that we killed but did not know how to replace.
How to resurrect, yeah.
One good idea was to call it the foreplay, because that's sexy and we're sexy. And we like to talk about sexy stuff, but it almost doesn't make sense because it's you'd have to add... the foreplay before we beat, because we're already playing it,
right?
Segment, but I like the foreplay.
I like the foreplay because, you know, like my thought is like it. Nothing has come to completion yet.
That's right.
The beat is the climax.
Right. Right.
Everything before that.
Yes.
Is the foreplay.
But also like calling it the grind, because you also, you know, you're still grinding before you've completed. I'm gyrating in my chair.
You grind
before you
Brian and I are horny now.
So maybe maybe the radar section is the foreplay, this is the grind, and then we do the beat it's later. Maybe we got the podcast all mixed up. We're fucking
I don't know.
We're completing and then beating and then now we're doing foreplay. What are we?
We're backwards.
Yeah. We are backwards. Anyway, let's get into the grindy foreplay action.
Let's do it. Let's absolutely
games that we're playing right now is essentially what this is. So,
right.
I'm playing. I got that. I love this one. I'm playing Per Jackson 5. who did that? By the way,
that was all Brian. He went to town on these. Like I came into the document. I was like, I have nothing.
Well,
to do.
I was like, should I leave some for Jake? And he's like, he never bothers. Just go ahead.
I just get in there and fucking do your thing. So Per Jackson 5, obviously Persona 5, I'm 65 and a half hours in.
That's
and
mad. You haven't put that many hours into a game in this span of time since I've known you.
In this quick amount of time?
Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Definitely put more into Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
But that
Not
was over a period
more,
of like two years.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've stuck through with this
Not
one.
Since Christmas.
And I saw today a guy who's also in the club, Mark Gisby, which I can't remember if I'm messing it up now or not, because mess it up
That's
on
right.
purpose. he was tweeting about, you know, where he is in the game. We try not to give each other spoilers, but he is just a little bit ahead of me in the game, but he's 14 hours behind me. But it feels like he's not going any slower than I mean to be going either. He's like, it feels like he's getting the full experience. I must be going slow.
Is he like south of the equator or something? Is there a time zone difference?
No, he's in the UK.
There's a time zone difference.
I mean, there's a time zone difference. We're not south of the fucking equator.
Yeah.
What? You can't just say yeah when you're done.
I'm doing a bit. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying, I must be going slow at it, but I'm loving it. I'm savoring it. And if there are seven castle palaces that I think I made up, I'm at five. So we're moving right along.
I mean, seven's a good number.
Seven's a great
number. But five is also a good number for a game called Persona 5.
Yeah, and since I have a few more, I'm also put a little bit more time in the Munch Out.
I bet Tracy likes it.
It's a foreplay game. Yeah, but before the grind. No, a little bit more Punch Out. A little bit more Punch
right.
Out.
How's that going now? You've been hung up on Super Macho Man for a while. How'd that go?
I finally beat Super Macho Man, but then I lost to Mr. Dream. But I've not put all that together.
Okay.
I put in a code to get to Super Macho Man, to practice Super Macho Man.
Right.
But I've not gone all the way through and done it. But I've also been waiting, because you talked about having a Punch Out night.
Yeah, we need to have a Punch Out night.
And I've just been trying to play it just to stay
sharp.
Or
we could do a Munch Out night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and that, I'm going to get away from that and move on to my next game, which is Fatty Fuck the Marvin Missions. Good God, Brian.
So, and that's
all
with
I did
D's?
Was switch two of the letters.
That's true. It's yeah. Daffy Duck the Marvin Missions. On the I've been playing it on the Super Game Boy, and I realized I like Sunsoft platformers. It's very reminiscent of the Batman game I played on the NES. It's okay. Made by the same company. It's obvious because it's Game Boy. It's only like three or four levels, but they're tough and short, but you feel like you can beat them, and that's what I like about it. It doesn't feel cheesy. It feels sort of like just four Cuphead levels with Daffy Duck in it, and okay. I enjoy that.
That's
so
nice.
That's the reason I kind of stuck with that one, because it's cool. Kind of goofy.
You've been playing a lot of games here.
I've been playing a lot of games. I had, like I said, I got some buddies that wanted to beat some games, and I said, come on down to the Boner Dungeon, let's get wild, and we'll also play games after we're done, and The Getaway is another one that I started playing on.
Now this one's classic GTA clone, right?
Yeah.
As in top down?
No, not
that classic.
GTA 3 classic.
Yeah. It's
weird. It's weird that we have to make that distinction.
Right. So, The Getaway on PS2. So, my nephew had this game as a kid and wanted to play it and beat it. And we're talking about a generation of kids that grew up with PS2s being their first console, which is kind of weird, right? Like, it's the same generation that evidently also doesn't listen to podcasts and they only want to Snapchat their genitals to each other. But the PS2, he was like really nostalgic for, which was weird to me. I mean, I get it, but
right.
He's like, yeah, man. Like, I was nostalgic for, like, A Boy and His Blob, and he's like, yeah, this Getaway game where you're running around London and just fucking blowing guys' heads off. I played it when I was 4, and I just want to see if I can beat it. And I was like, all right, well, and I picked it up. It was cheap for good reason that I found. It's hard as fuck. The game, it was like an era in video gaming where we thought because we had graphics that were just slightly better than what the N64 could do, that we could completely make everything as realistic as possible. So
right.
There's no HUD. There's no reticle. There's no life meter. There's no ammo count. You just have to... How many times did I fire? I don't even...
You just keep shooting until he clicks.
You drive around this almost one-to-one map of London with no map. There's no... This is before TomTom came out, I guess. So it's right. It's so realistic. You had to like print out MapQuest directions to play the fucking game. And it's ridiculous. Like, to figure out where you go on the map, you wait for your drive, and your car's signal indicator will come on. You're like, oh, I got to take a right soon. It's horseshit.
That is kind of horseshit.
And so you don't know when you get to your location. You're like, oh, is that the building I'm supposed to go into? Because it quit blinking. So you never really know. It's not entirely a terrible game. There are parts of it that are pretty cool. Like, it's got really good cutscenes. The voice acting is really good. It feels like a GTA game. It's got that flavor. But
right.
What really fucked us over was we got past a hard part, and the fail corrupted. And so...
The fail corrupted.
I mean, I'm sorry. The save corrupted.
Save
failed.
Okay,
sorry.
I gotcha.
Which, the fail corrupted, sure.
Corrupted fail. Also a great band name.
Right. So something went wrong with the memory card, but I don't have the... I don't have the wherewithal to go back.
You realize, like, in 3 years, Dean is going to know these band names that we're dropping.
Who?
Dean? Remember, he did that, right?
Hmm?
Wasn't it Dean?
I don't know. Matt Bandy?
No. Dean Lasagna.
Dean Lasagna knows bands that we know? You know?
Like, we were dropping band names one time, and you said it on Twitter that this is your new band, and then he was like, and also these, and, like, quoted some that we had said on a podcast, like, a year before.
Holy shit.
Like, he's keeping track.
I think it was Dean.
He's could have been Dean.
A spreadsheet.
Yeah. Could
seems to be.
I wish Jake would keep a spreadsheet of band names, because like he's been saying it for years. That's what I've been playing on. The rest of the worst of the ones I've got, I've already talked about.
Yeah, you have
at length.
About time that Brian got to talk.
Oh, sweet. So now that Fallout is mostly done, I'm going to move on to another Bethesda VR game.
Yeah, yeah.
Doom V fucking R.
That's what the F stands for.
Yeah, it is.
In case you didn't know.
That's not even a sabotage.
It's not a sabotage. I wanted that in there.
They try to church it up and just say F.
Yeah.
We're being real
here.
Yeah.
So now when this launched, I remember Travis pretty excited about coming over to your house and playing with your expensive toys, and then also maybe doing some VR stuff too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when this launched, like around launch or maybe right before, people weren't too warm to it, considering it was in hell. People were really cold to it.
Yes.
So, but they've fixed that. Yes.
So I was at work when it came out, looking on Reddit, as you do,
as one does.
And I saw, hey, Doom VFR is out.
Doom what now?
Like, V fucking R.
There you go.
So I was like, oh, this is great. When I get home, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to download it. I'm going to play it. But, of course, you know, it was several hours before I got home.
Of course.
So I'm looking at reviews and seeing what people are thinking, and there's a lot of bad reviews. Like it had an average of like one star or something.
Ouch. That's hurtful.
There was a lot of problems with it initially. One of the biggest gripes people had was when you were holding the gun, you know, in every other VR game, the handle of the controller pretty much matches the handle of the gun, so it feels very natural. People were saying that, like, if you were to hold the controller like you think you're pointing it at an enemy, it would actually be pointing, like, up in the sky. So you'd have to, like, aim your wrist down, almost like you were shooting with a laser pointer, you know?
I get you.
Shoot straight.
Like hit your gun on a selfie stick.
Yeah. And it's like...
Or maybe had like some sort of tactical grip on a rifle or something that...
Yeah, like something
maybe
weird.
It made sense in their like little brains, but doesn't play
it's
out.
It's one of those things that, you know, when you... people that have VR, you're used to like every good VR game utilizes the motion controllers really well.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Because it's very natural. That's the whole point.
Right. It's to help you forget that you're using technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that like just really turned people off. And when it initially launched, it also, everything was teleport. There was no smooth locomotion. And a lot of people were sore about that. And, you know, when I first bought my Vive, I was all about the teleport because I was like, this will keep me from getting sick.
Right. So yeah, I remember this.
I wanted everything to have teleport. But by the time Doom came out, I had kind of gotten over all that, and I was totally into the smooth locomotion because it felt more natural. Mm. So I did not buy this when it first launched, and I was really disappointed about it. But about a month or so afterwards, they put out a patch, and they fixed all these things. They added the smooth locomotion. They put in an option where you can adjust the tilt of the gun relation to your controller so you can set it exactly how you like it. So I went ahead and picked it up, dabbled in it a little bit when you guys came over.
Yeah.
I want to jump in there and beat that one next. Right
it's on. Super fast. Like, my biscuits hadn't been turned that quick in a long time. Like, I played all of Brian. At least just Dry Dog walked in, put on the VR stuff, walked around, was like, this is no big deal.
Right.
And then VR, like, I zipped down a hallway one time and was like, just felt it. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I played most of that game. I had so much fun, but I was sick. Like the whole time, awful. I was like, I don't want to stop playing, but also don't want to throw up in this headset.
Yeah, yeah, don't do it. What else have you been playing? What else you got?
Well, I recently started playing WoW again.
Oh God,
this is a game that I have played since the beta,
since
in
you
like
were
2005 or something, since before I had kids. And
couldn't have said that any more sad.
I know it. That was tragic.
It's just a long time, is what I'm trying to say.
I got you.
And now I have quit on off
being
and on.
A father.
You're down to a pack a day, and now you're back.
Yeah, I was like, you know, here's some food. Go entertain yourself. I got to wow it up.
Got a raid tonight.
But there's a new expansion coming this summer, and they're doing this thing where if you pre-order it, you get access to some new fancy stuff.
Of course.
And I was in one of those vulnerable moods where
it happens. You're sitting around eating little Debbie cakes.
You know, sometimes you just want to play something where you upgrade your character and get fancy gear and stuff. It just satisfies something.
So satisfying.
So I bought it again, and I've been playing that a bit.
I got you.
And then my eternal side quest.
Yes.
Hearthstone.
Is
I
it?
Mean, sorry, Hearthboner.
Hearthboner.
You're welcome.
Last minute change.
Nice.
Yep. I'm addicted to that game.
Basically, Bethesda and Blizzard have you in their back pocket.
Pretty
You're
much,
in two back pockets at the same time. That's impressive.
But you got to admit, they're two solid.
I mean,
they're
safe bets. Safe bets. Absolutely.
So, not ashamed.
Don't be.
True that.
Don't
well,
be.
I will say that I'm a free-to-play Hearthstoner. I don't spend money on that game.
Smart.
Usually.
Wait a minute.
I bought the...
You can't say you're...
Here's what I'm saying. I don't buy card packs, right? I don't go to the store and buy card packs unless there's a special.
So you're a discount.
It's like he didn't even need to say
I know,
it.
This
right?
is like this is like a one time thing. They're like, this one time you can buy 30 packs for like, $20, and I'm like, okay.
But you didn't inhale, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And I mean, I've put so much time into this game. I figure if I drop $20 here and there,
yeah.
It's
I get
still,
it.
I'm not really spending that.
You didn't even need to say the first part. You should have just said, I occasionally spend money on
that's
this
all
game.
You got to say. You're trying to set yourself up as this, like, you know, paragon of virtue that you don't spend any money on Hearthstone.
Yeah. It's like, I never kick cats. Don't mind this cat blood on my leg, though. I've never kicked one.
I never do, but then I did because they had the special, and then I caught myself.
You can't say never.
A liar. I didn't want to be a liar, so I had to come clean.
There you go.
All right, so I have been playing MILF Hunter World.
I like that, though. Nice. I like that, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Now, Monster Hunter World.
That's a little different.
It's a little different. just as sexy. So I'll try not to drone on too long about this, but I will say that this is my game of the year so far. Obviously, I haven't played a lot of new stuff. There's a lot of stuff coming. But at least first 3 months of the year, there's been nothing better that's even reared its head that I would consider this good. I'm around 20 hours in, and I enjoy the grind. Like, there's a, you know, we all like games with loot. You know, we've all played Borderlands or Diablo or some kind of dungeon crawler where you beat a boss and you get some kind of cool payoff for it. But sometimes you don't know what that payoff is going to be. Sometimes you just go grind this thing. You play in Destiny. It's like, I need to go fight, do this strike. So hopefully we can get some good Ingrams so we can hopefully go get something we don't already have. The thing about Monster Hunter's grind is it's very focused. It's like, you know what your weapon upgrades are. You know what the options are. So you just go focus on killing certain monsters or going to certain biomes to get these certain things to come back and bring to upgrade. I really like the hunts. Like, it's a lot of fun to like just hop into an online game with like three other randos and just chase this giant monster around. I was telling you guys at lunch, I was hunting an Anjanath, which those of you who play know what this is. It's a big ass T-Rex like thing. I was hunting it. It runs all over the place and jumps around and kicks you and breathes fire on you. It's just a real pain in the ass. And swinging my big old sword at it, and then like mid swing, it just like just goes up. And I look up, and this giant dragon has like picked this thing up and is just like carrying it off, like just out of sight. I'm like, well, shit.
That's nature, man.
Yeah. That's just, you never know when it's going to happen. And then you can actually throw balls of shit at other monsters to get them to run away.
It's amazing how exciting that you sound.
It's so fun, you know.
What other game can you do that?
Yeah, you can't sling
like,
shit.
It's two favorite things about this game is like, one, I did this crazy thing, and this thing came out of the sky. And then also, guys, you can throw like real shit.
Like actual shit.
When is it coming to VR?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, I've not progressed the story much because I'm trying to like level my character and get some good gear and stuff. And it's all, you know, it's all been real fun. You know, I did play this one level where the level is the monster. It's just this massive elder dragon, and you just run all over it and cut off little things in different parts of it, and it's like spewing lava everywhere, and it's just, you know, the size of Rhode Island.
Sort of Shadow of the Colossus E, the way you would maybe
definitely, but much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scale wise, just massive. So it's I'm really enjoying it. I really like everything about it. I've got some really cool cat armor for my cat. It makes me really happy. The cutest fucking thing happens when you go into water. The little cat, your little palicos.
Like his foot?
No, they inflate these little rafts and hop in rafts and like paddle around beside you.
Cats hate water.
They would never get in there. It's just fucking adorable. I've recently upgraded my room and I can like go capture animals in the wild and bring them in and let them run around in my room and stuff. It's just a lot of fun.
But it sounds like a slow burn. You said you've played it for about 20 hours and you're at like level 4 or
level
something?
Level 4. That's my hunter level, yeah.
It seems like a low level for that.
It's
many
pretty
hours.
Low. It's pretty low. But to raise your level, you have to progress the story.
Right. So you're just running around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll start progressing the story soon. But
it sounds like it's a series of boss fights almost.
It mainly is.
Like hardly any trash.
There's a little trash that comes around. And there's a lot of just like endemic life that isn't necessarily huntable in the world. But you know. It's mainly the big monsters. Cool. So, yeah, a lot of fun.
All right, that wraps up the whatever segment that is.
It's foreplay.
The grindy foreplay.
Foreplay long time.
Yeah. And that takes us right into the good old Discush. Brian, take us back to 1996.
All right, guys, it's 1996.
All right.
I'm in 10th or 11th grade, I forget. There was a a span of time where I was, after school every day, I was going over to my friend Tim's house to play Resident Evil. And one day I walk over into his room and he's got his closet open and I notice there's a Virtual Boy in his closet. And I was like, number one, why have you never told me that you have a Virtual Boy? And number two, get it out right now.
I want to play it. Yeah, exactly.
And why are these socks so stiff? What do you do to them?
So, he, of course, had had it for a while and was totally done with it.
As so one
he,
is
he
with
busted
Virtual
out
Boy.
Of the
either
box.
By the socks?
So, he had to go get some batteries and everything for it, and he finally got it set up for me. And I feel like everybody knows what a Virtual Boy is, but you know,
terrible.
It's like a really shitty VR headset, but it's not really a headset. It sits on the table, and then you have to stick your face in it.
Right. It's like that thing when you go to the eye doctor, and they put that puff of air in your face when you stare at the house on the hill. And
it's basically like a viewfinder with just some like reticulating splines. I think of
it's like
whatever The Sims would flash up when it was loading. It's got that in it.
It's nothing but like red vectors on
vectors.
A black background.
There it is.
Thank
you.
So it's basically just 3D red lines and shit. But you know, at the time, I like the idea of VR was really cool to me. There were movies like Lawnmower Man, you know, kind of stuff. So I wanted to see it, and I played something like, I think it was Mario Tennis and some sort of flight thing. It was sort of like a Star Wars trench run kind of thing. And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. I played it for 10 minutes and then I was like, let's go play Resident Evil.
He was like, let's put it back in the closet where you had it.
Box that back up.
Watch out for the socks.
But I remember talking to Tim and being like, I hope before I die that somebody makes legit good VR.
And you were 16 at this time.
I was totally serious. I was like, maybe by the time I'm like in my 70s, VR will be advanced to the point where I can play something like this Resident Evil game, you know, and like shoot at zombies and stuff. And like, I remember picturing it in my head and just being in love with the idea. And then, lo and behold, only short 20 years later, not only do we have good VR, but there's multiple options, and they're all cheap enough that you can have in your home.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm talking about VR, I think back to that time, and it's still kind of amazing to me, like, how far
That's
the technology
awesome.
Has come in the amount of time.
Yeah. And it's... Yeah.
Now I'm like, when I'm 70, it's going to be
right.
The Matrix. You know?
Yeah, so what's your 1996 moment right now? You're like, before you die, what do you hope VR is?
Oh, shit. tap directly into your brain so you can actually feel stuff.
I just want to smell shit. That's my thing. Like, if they can make me smell...
Smell-o-vision?
Smell, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like curdled zombie blood while I'm... like, this fucking smoke off my revolver.
Or...
Boobs? Are you going to say boobs?
No,
can't smell boobs.
You can, but no. What I was going to say is just salt air while you're walking along the beach. Something relaxing. Why does it always have to be blood and guts with you?
Well, that's the games I like.
I feel like that's going to be hard, though, because that's going to require like chemicals and stuff in your house.
That's a lot of cancer.
Here's what we should do. Here's what we should do. This is a big tirade and probably a whole different show and maybe a different business completely.
You suddenly seem angry.
But no, I'm not angry. I'm excited.
Yeah.
What we should do is develop candles. To burn while you're playing VR.
We just recorded this. Somebody's going to fucking take this idea.
Just layer it. It's just like as you pace through the game, as it burns through.
That would be really hard to time.
It would be, but you know, we could do it.
Yeah. I think somebody actually made a Fallout 4 candle.
Seems
but
right.
I don't think it really smelled like anything. I think it was
What's it going to smell like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radiation.
Radiation. Yeah. I don't know. It's just,
Yeah.
This candle's got rads. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ghoul sweat.
Good idea, though.
It is.
So what are the big three of VR? And you've listed four here, so that tells me you can't count.
Yeah,
so what are
See, it's a surprise. Surprise.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So you've listed three here.
Well,
you can't count.
Sorry.
It's a latecomer. So
like Jake.
So the big three for anybody that doesn't know is HTC Vive.
Right.
Oculus Rift.
Hmm.
PlayStation VR.
Right.
I think the Rift and the Vive both came out at roughly the same time, about March, April of 2016. PSVR came out, I think, October or November of that same year.
Yeah,
so it was a little later. And so those are the main three headsets that people talk about. more recently, they've released these new headsets that's called Windows Mixed Reality. The term mixed reality is a little misleading because typically when people were talking about mixed reality, you're talking about taking virtual things and kind of mixing in real things.
Okay.
So you
like
can
a
see,
candle.
You can see videos.
Oh.
Like if you see a video of somebody playing a VR game and they are superimposed on top of the VR game, so you, it, like you can see them in the game, that's what people would call a mixed reality video.
Okay.
But the Windows mixed reality headsets are just VR headsets. But they're like the HP, Lenovo, Samsung,
Asus.
Dell, yeah, Asus, Acer. So they're the like third party. They don't like
they don't have their own.
Yeah, they don't have their own development studios
or ecosystem.
Yeah. They just make the gadgets.
Yeah, they make the TVs. So, they make the thing right. You look the viewfinder.
The displays. Yes. Yeah.
The displays. Yeah.
So most people kind of agree that the Vive and the Rift are kind of the premium
top dogs
sort of thing. But the Windows Mixed Reality headsets are actually, some of them are up there with those guys and even outperform them in things like resolution. There's a Samsung Odyssey is one of the Windows Mixed Reality headsets. It actually has a higher resolution screen than the Vive and the Rift. So there are some of them that are kind of budget and then some of them that are actually competitors.
So what makes the PSVR sort of the third fiddle there? Is it just because it's...
Yeah, well, of course, it's reliant on a PlayStation 4. So you can only play games on it that come out for PlayStation VR. For the Vive and the Rift, you know, anybody makes a VR computer game, you can download it and play it. And there is a little bit of, you know, exclusive yeah. Rift mm-hmm. games or whatever, but people have already come up with ways that you can play whatever you want on whatever headset.
Gotcha.
So, you know...
So the PSVR is obviously much limited in terms of games.
It is limited, but Sony is throwing a lot of weight behind it, and they are putting out a lot of games that I'm actually jealous of when I see them.
Did you have... I don't know if you said already, but you have a Vive.
Yeah, yeah. I bought the Vive. So when I bought the Vive, the PSVR wasn't out yet. I don't even know if they had announced it yet, because I think they announced it at E3 that year. But I think so.
I'm not sure. I'm old.
But so I actually had pre-ordered the Rift. I got a bundle from Best Buy that came with a computer and the Rift because I needed to upgrade my computer to be able to run the VR. But I kept watching all these videos from like the tested podcast where they would try out all these different headsets at trade shows and CES and all this stuff. And I was sitting there at my computer, turned around, looked at this big empty room behind me, and was like, do I want to get the Rift where I'm going to be kind of limited to, you know, a short distance from my computer and I can only turn like 180 degrees? Or do I want to splurge and get this Vive that has like the full room tracking so I can use this whole giant room behind me?
Yeah. It's got to clean up all the Legos so you don't fuck your feet up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I ended up canceling my Rift order and going with the Vive, even though it cost me another $200. I think it was $200 more.
So what do Vives go for now? What are they?
So right now you can get a Vive with Fallout 4 VR for $599. So, when I bought it, it was $799.
And does that include the PC and the headset and the tracker?
No. It includes the headset, the trackers, the controllers, and the game.
So you have the PC, you just have to make sure you buy a PC that has those specs.
Yes. Now, some retailers will sell you a bundle. Like, here's a VR-ready PC and the headset for this sort of price.
Right.
But if you just want to buy the headset itself, it's $599.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there also when Oculus Rift launched, like you play with an Xbox controller? There was not the
yes.
handheld.
Yeah, that was another big component. They had announced the touch controllers, mm-hmm. but they weren't coming at launch. So it came with the Xbox controller. So everything was controller based, and you know, I was just sitting there in my big empty room thinking, why do I want to sit here with a controller when I could just like be swinging swords and shooting guns
absolutely
and stuff over here?
Yeah, or walking along the beach. Why is all this violent? Yeah.
You're so boring. Blood and guts with you guys.
So yeah, that's why I ended up going with the Vive. I will say though that the benefit of the PlayStation VR is that the developers know precisely what hardware you're working with,
yeah,
so they can really optimize it. And even though the PSVR has a slightly smaller resolution than the Vive and the Rift, the display technology is actually a little bit better, like in the way that the pixels are in there. So actually they look about the same.
Okay.
So
interesting.
You know, we'll talk about the little survey later. There's a lot of people interested in the PSVR. I think that is totally cool. I'm kind of also interested. I'm not going to buy one because I've already spent so much on a Vive, but there are a lot of games and stuff coming out for PSVR that look really cool, and I'm kind of jealous.
And plus, you only have a PS4 part-time.
Yeah. So.
Okay, right, cool. So when you you got this Vive, and initially there weren't a ton of games, a lot of demos, right?
Yeah, early on.
Proof
there
of
were
concepts.
A lot of demos, experiences, things that you could play for 20 minutes and say, that was a neat little thing.
Yeah.
That's cool that you can do that in VR. And actually, before I bought my Vive, I borrowed Oculus Rift Development Kit 2 from Tim, and I played through a whole bunch of these things. You could just go to the website and download all this crap that people put up for free. When I finally got my Vive, I was looking forward to some like real polished games. And there were a handful. The Lab from Valve had a lot of really cool stuff in there.
Let's get that arrow one.
Yeah, Longbow.
Longbow, yeah.
Love that shit.
That's so good.
They've nailed like the feel of the bow and stuff.
I get fucking tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you do this for like 24 rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't stop. Like,
Robin Hood, Legolas, all those, that's bullshit. You can't do that.
No. William, tell my ass.
I'd be watching you play, and you would go forever fighting all this stuff. You'd get to the end of a round, and you'd like,
yeah,
you'd
have to
take
bend
a
over
break
take
for
a
second, and then you would just jump right back in. I'm like, dude, just give yourself a minute. Like, you're a beast.
And plus, in between rounds, it like floats these balloons up that you just want to fucking hit with your bow. And so you never really want to break because you're like, oh, balloons and shit. And you're just constantly doing it. And I've actually hit the gym recently to work out for longbow. That's my goal, is just to get shredded for longbow.
To get to wave 25.
Yeah, please, God, get me there.
So in addition to that, there were some other really polished games like Space Pirate Trainer and Hollow Point, and these are kind of wave-based shooters or other bow games.
You know, these complete games, these have endings? Or I guess, so they're arcade-y, you just go as long as you can?
They're very arcade-y.
Yeah. Space Pirate Trainer is my favorite thing. Anytime we do VR at your house, I always go back to it because it's pretty well... Like, it's got a nice managed environment, which I really like. You're just kind of on this platform looking out at space, and these little ships come up, and you can either have two guns, or you can have a shield and a gun, or you can have like this whip, and you can grab them and pull them up close to you and shoot them like a point blank range. You know,
feels natural.
Feels really good. And it's just a lot of fun, brightly colored, some good music.
Yeah,
and
I really like the music.
It's a really, really cool experience. And it's one of those that I'm like, if there was something like that, I don't know if there is, like on PSVR, that would make me go,
yeah,
I can have that in my house all the time. Because it's really one of my favorite things. I really like it.
Well, you might not like what I'm going to say next.
Here we go.
So when I got my Vive, I was having a blast playing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after a little while...
It's tiresome.
Start to get tired of it, doing the same thing over and over. I wanted something with more meat to it,
some,
you know?
Story, some quests.
Yeah, I
quests.
Wanted to, like, get immersed in something,
level
not
up.
Just
play. You wanted Fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was going to have to wait a long time for that.
Over a year.
However, so I got my Vive in, I think it was May of 2016. And then a month later, there was the E3.
Hmm.
And I was hoping to see some VR games.
A game or two.
Yeah, I was like, you know, it'll be cool if maybe somebody they announce one or two cool games. They fucking just came out of the gate with VR left and right, and I was blown away.
And all of it was, now, how compatible was it? Like, were there Or were you always worried that it would be just Sony would just announce stuff for PlayStation? And
well, yeah, I kind of knew that anything Sony announced was going to be PSVR, and I wasn't too worried about that. I figured anything I really want to play would be on PC. I mean, that's
right.
That's where the main VR market is, I think.
True.
Yeah.
but I was still happy to see it so prominently in Sony's press conference, because to me, it's like the more developers that are pushing this, the more other developers are going to get in it, and the more people are going to buy it to play these games, the more market there's going to be, and we're just going to grow and grow and grow. So I actually wrote a Polyblog about this.
You did?
After that E3. And I just kind of want to run through some of these games that they announced that E3 just to give people an idea. So they announced Doom VFR, Fallout VR, Star Trek Bridge Crew, Resident Evil 7. And I think that was the same year they announced Resident Evil 7. So it was like they announced the game that blew everybody away. And at the same time, they said, oh, yeah, you can play it in VR too, which was amazing. There was like an unnamed Battlefront X-Wing game. I don't know that we ever got that, but it was still amazing. Batman, Arkham VR, Serious Sam VR, Super Hot VR, and then there were several other Sony exclusives that I won't go through. But, I mean, I'm sitting here watching this E3 hoping for one or two games. I'm seeing like Resident Evil, Batman, Fallout,
Star Wars.
I was
like, a lot of buy-in.
Boom.
Yeah.
I was so psyched.
Like, that's a good E3 if those aren't VR. You know, the fact that those are all on this niche, somewhat still niche platform is got to be awesome if you have a Vive and you've been playing Hollow Point over and over again for 8 months.
Yeah.
So I was really excited about that. But, of course, a lot of these games took a year or more to come out. So
typically E3 fashion.
In the meantime, there was actually a span of 2 or 3 months or so where, like, I didn't even touch my Vive. It just sat there on the shelf, and I played Overwatch, like, every day.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
That might be more Overwatch's fault than the Vive's fault.
Yeah, flat games are still really good.
Flat games. So we're calling them that now? That's so disparaging.
I hate that. People,
this is the new flat games podcast. It's called Polygon.
Most people in the VR subreddits and stuff call them pancake games.
Ah, oh, man. It's a bunch of assholes.
Wow. I mean, they're right.
I guess.
But then I found this one game. It was actually modded VR support, so it didn't start as a VR game. It was Solus Project, and that was the first game that I got into in VR that actually was a multi-hour game with a lot of meat to it. And it's like a survival game where you have to manage your hunger and thirst and your body temperature and all this stuff, but it's on this alien planet that has crazy weather. So you'll be, you know, walking along the shore and you hear this like awful music start, and a big twister comes in from the ocean, and it looks massive in VR, and it's so threatening, and you're like sprinting to a cave to try to get away from it. I played that one for 13 hours. So that was my first big one.
That's meaty, yeah.
And then after that, Fallout.
And the rest is history.
And 100 hours.
Now, I just want to say, I think they should be called waffle games because they're still in 3D, and then the retro games can be pancake games.
Okay.
I was going to let you finish, but I was hanging on that, and I was like, I'm firmly, those are waffles.
I'll head into the VR subreddit and
throw that out there.
Just suggest it. Let us know how it goes.
We'll start relating all our games to types of food.
Yes. Breakfast food specifically.
Please. Please. So you did a survey.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did a sweet serve.
And a lot of people responded. We want to thank everybody for doing that. We really appreciate it. It's kind of short notice, kind of came out of nowhere. But as always, the Cartridge Club never disappoints, always ready to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I brought up the survey results here, and it took me so long to get to them, it logged me out. So I'm just going to log back in real quick.
All right, me and Jake will talk about things while you log in. Jake, how do you think it's going so far?
I think it's going pretty good.
Should we have Brian back on ever again?
No. Okay. No, we had to rearrange way too much in this room.
Yeah, we had to get rid of our table. We had table that
it's rickety.
Poker at.
Yeah,
it's very wobbly.
I like
to be the first and last in room guest.
Yes.
I guess
I realize I said most of what I just said with my mic off. So I just want to repeat: this is a card table where dogs would play poker, and that's why it's rickety.
Please tell me you've had that mic on the rest of the time.
I just turn it off when I'm not talking, and I just happen to talk unexpectedly about dog poker.
Thank you.
All right. Well, my survey is back.
Survey is back up.
All right, so we had 29 people fill this out. It's a pretty good number. So the first question I asked was just, Who owns a VR headset? How many people own them? So 24 people said they don't own one. Three people said they have a PSVR. Two said they had phone-based VR. I'm assuming that's one of those.
I didn't fill out the survey.
Jake has never seen this before.
I didn't want to taint the results.
Okay. I tainted them.
And one has the Vive, and that is not me.
Okay.
So not many of the Cartridge Club Polykill fan base has VR.
Among the, I mean, obviously these are going to be gamers that are filling this out, because those are the people that follow us on Twitter. So it's a bit of a somewhat skewed population, but I think that of that sample, that's still a decent amount that do. That's
true.
Roughly what, 10% of people that have something VR.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I asked the people that actually own a PC or console based VR. I was leaving out the phone stuff.
Gotcha.
I asked them what's their favorite game so far, and two people said Superhot. One person said Resident Evil, and one person said Eve Valkyrie.
Okay.
There you go.
So I think that's pretty expected.
Yeah.
Pretty solid games. All right. So then I said, for the people that don't own it, which one are you most interested in? And this one kind of surprised me a little bit. Most people, 14 people, said they're not interested at all.
Okay.
Seven people said PSVR. And then three said Vive. Nobody said Oculus Rift.
Yeah, not surprising.
Right, because of
that glitch that took them all offline yesterday.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That was
turned all their brains to worms, and now they all have like six toes on each foot or something.
I don't know what.
Because if you're wearing it during the upgrade, I heard that it caused some defects.
Like a human upgrade.
I made all that up.
I like it.
I think it just took them all offline.
Maybe.
But I wonder if that difference is... People are just, they see the Vive price, and PSVR has such an easy way to get into it. Like, you just buy this thing, it goes in your PlayStation, you don't have to do anything. It just works.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the bar of entry for PlayStation VR is cheaper if you don't have either, but much cheaper if you already have a PS4.
Yep.
Right.
Definitely. So I wonder if people, like, if money weren't an issue, or if...
Well...
Okay.
I got a question.
I'm sorry.
Right here.
No, that's a good lead in.
Yeah.
Don't apologize.
So I asked people, if you don't own one, why not? 14, the number one answer that 14 people picked was the cost is too high.
Hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
you know, I was one of those early adopters that dropped stupid amounts of money on this stuff, but I was just so excited about it.
Do you still write the kid you sold?
Yes.
Nice.
All right, so then the second, this is one where you could actually pick more than one answer. So if there was more than one reason you didn't have one. So the next one, 11 people selected was... There aren't any games that they want to play.
Okay.
Which kind of makes sense, you know.
That's
a lot of
kind of niche or
stuff. Yeah.
I mean, if they're the type of people that like, you know, certain types of like RPGs and that kind of thing, the VR might never be good for that.
Except for Fallout.
But I mean, you know, just more like squad management RPGs or some of those real specific type of genres that will never be great unless you're like HoloLens in it and managing it with your hands, you know.
I think that's how Moss...
Yeah,
on PSVR is.
Like cool.
It's not a first-person game at all, but apparently it uses VR very well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
All right, so a few people said they don't have the room for it. A few people said they don't have a device that can run it. And one person said that they're afraid they'll get sick.
Huh.
Seven people selected other, and some of their answers were, excuse me, I'm worried I will just sit at home playing VR games and never do anything else again. Not interested in playing in VR. I need more games to sell me on VR. I had PSVR for a month and returned it. It's a fun gimmick to try, but not something I want to use regularly. And then somebody else said, I have no desire to be cut off from the outside world while gaming. I often play games with my family all together in the same room engaging. And another person said, I don't want to wear a contraption on my face to play a game, man.
All right, man. Cool.
Cool, man.
For that last one where he doesn't want to be cut off from everybody, I think that's totally a valid concern. But I will say that VR isn't as isolating as people always think it is.
True.
Because it's a lot of fun just to watch other people play games. You know, you swap in and out and... Especially if it's something like a horror game where you get a reaction.
Yeah.
It's a fairly social thing, mainly because you get to and maybe it's just because, you know, Travis and I are just completely exploiting your, you know, lack of financial clarity when you bought this.
That's a good way to put it.
But it's fun to just like go over and have like a VR night where we try out a new thing, and it's almost like party based, you know.
Yeah, like it feels like a party based game.
Yeah. Even though it's, you know, you are cut off. You know, we're watching somebody play on the screen, or we're saying, hey, don't do that, or hey, don't touch the wall, or you're going to trip on it, or spin the other way, you're getting wrapped up. You know, fun things like that.
Yeah.
And they actually do make several games that are designed to have one person in VR and the other people either on a gamepad or just shouting things at you.
Like everybody, no one stop talking or we all die, or something like that.
Keep talking and nobody explodes.
That's
what
it is.
Where the person in VR is trying to disarm a bomb, and the people outside of VR are reading them the instructions.
Right,
on
but
how
can't
to do
see
it.
Yeah,
that's really awesome.
Yeah, I can get that for my my daydream, and I'm really thinking about doing it.
We should totally do that one night.
Yeah,
cool.
That would be a lot of fun.
All right, so I said, what game are you most interested in playing? So we got a couple Skyrims, Moss,
okay,
two Resident Evils, seven, Eagle Flight.
Yeah.
Some racing games or flight sims might be cool, somebody said. Another Resident Evil. Rush of Blood, which is a... what's that game called?
Yeah, I know. Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. A Until Dawn spinoff where you're like riding on a mine cart through like this twisted carnival sort
of thing.
Sounds
great.
I'm into that.
It's super scary. Accounting Plus, super hot. Serious Sam, super hot. Resident Evil 7, and then this guy wants to play VR Trump Hunt, shooting little subpoenas at him, and he has to swat them with his little hands.
So people have good imagination.
Okay, yeah, that's
not a real game.
That's not a real game.
Sounds pretty cool. All right, so in the interest of time, I'm going to maybe skip a couple of these and get to the fun ones.
Get to the fun ones.
I said, come up with a title for a fake VR game that Travis would love to play.
That's me. That's my name.
That's you.
Yeah. So let's see what we got here.
What are some good ones?
Oranga titties.
What? What is that like a monkey's boobs?
I'm assuming.
Like you just bat them around. Who knows? I mean, they know me very well. That's a pretty
whoever gave that option will have to hit you up on Twitter.
I just imagine a wall of boobs, and I'm just swatting them.
But well, hold on, it's oranga titties.
But I know that they're oranga titties. They don't have to be attached to the orangutan. It's just a bunch of orangutan boobs on a fixed wall. I'm into that.
That's weird.
Rusty like, Calhoun in Vegas.
That sounds good.
VR VR retro sports featuring NBA Jam.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
A Boy and His Knob, Trouble in Spinksville.
They got it. They got me.
Wow.
They know me.
Boobs the Game.
Wow.
Rusty Calhoun's Backwoods Barroom Brawl.
I'm into that.
Also sounds like a lot of fun.
Boner Dungeon.
Yep.
Polykill.
Okay. Sure.
What's in Jake's Pants?
I can play that not in VR.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, come on.
Death. 35 cents, by the way.
He already gave you the ending.
Yeah.
That's a good deal simulator.
That's a real good deal. That's a real good deal.
Just plays that little drum beat.
Yeah.
Just
bust it out.
Exactly.
Appalachian Moonshine Runners.
Jake would like that too.
That sounds like fun.
Jenna Jameson's Monster Truck Rally. He says maybe this is for Rusty.
Yeah, that's true. He is a character.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood Simulator. Nintendo Collector VR.
I'd do that.
And actually, there is this thing in development called EMUVR, E-M-U-V-R, like emulator VR.
Oh,
like
I
the
see.
Bird?
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
But it's like you're in like this 90s-looking bedroom, and it's a ROM thing, right? But your ROMs show up in the VR as like a cartridge.
So it's just supposed to transport you to another time while you play these.
Yes. Okay. So instead of...
Do you have like a little tube TV that the games play on?
And they like nice. They actually put a lot of effort into like... like how the TV's pixels are displayed and like the light that comes off the TV. It looks really cool. You should look it up.
I will look it up.
EMUVR.
You get to pick your own soundtrack in the background. They'll get some Rick Astley or some Duran Duran to play while I'm
I don't know.
Plucking around a Mega Man.
It's on Patreon right now. You can donate, but there's no way to download it yet. It's still in development.
Gotcha.
So I ain't giving them shit until I can download it.
Amen, brother.
But it looks awesome.
Sweet.
All right. Hillbilly Simulator.
Yeah.
Okay.
People get the wrong idea about me, you know.
Well, you put it out there.
You put out so many rusties.
I know. I have a good number of teeth, but I won't say I have the maximum number of teeth. But
all right. Madden VR. This next one is fun. You to a T. Salad Tosser Mayhem.
Really? That's me to a T.
You love salad.
I do like salad.
Yeah.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Oh, I like salad, but not the salad you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm like ass salad.
Rusty Video Game Tours.
Wow, a lot of rusties.
A lot of rusties.
Rapstar The Experience featuring the Black Eyed Peas.
That's more of a me and you thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Prison Diddles.
Yeah, boy.
VR Waterboy. Take Bobby Boucher to the Heisman.
That sounds fun.
Well, okay.
And the last one is Hick Dick.
Hick Dick.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Sounds like a winner.
People think you're stupid.
They do think I am a stupid, toothless redneck.
I can't
redneck.
Wait for mine. Mine are going to be like just blood, gore, guts metal. That's what mine are going to be. I know it.
This is how you really know what people think of
I
you
know.
Guys.
Like, and, okay, go on.
All right, so come up with the title for a fake VR game that Jake would love to play. Villainous Vixens of Jackson Plaza.
That sounds...
That's very specific.
Yeah. Very intriguing.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
I don't know anything about Jacksonville Plaza.
Villainous Vixens, though?
I wiped all the fingerprints off that.
Oh, yeah. Don't say anything. Farm Life, Time to Milk the Cows.
I would... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Witcher 4. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Dark Holes 3, Into the Void.
Okay.
Yard Work Simulator.
What the hell? I like Stardew Valley, okay?
That's... I don't know. That actually strikes me as a Travis thing, because that's straight out of The Simpsons. I don't know if you remember that.
Straight out of Compton.
Gotcha. Player Unknown's Brothel, Game of the Year Edition.
Monster... Sounds like JD.
Yeah, it's definitely a JD thing.
Monster Hunter VR Madness.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Polykill Kill 2. So you're in for the sequel.
I mean, I get Polykill 2. Okay.
What's in Travis's pants?
Oh, I know. A bunch of big old dicks.
Yeah. Far Cry VR.
Oh, yeah. That would be sweet.
Halloween Freakout VR. A game where you design and wear the scariest costumes possible solely to scare kids trick-or-treating at call centers.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, they
cool. Good callback. They've been listening off kilter. Thank you.
Playdead presents Playdead VR.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? That doesn't make
Played
sense.
Played as a developer.
Played
right?
as a developer who made Inside and Limbo.
You want to finish Inside VR? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, boy, I do.
Death Metal Maniacs.
There okay, we go.
There it is.
Hillbilly Simulator.
What the hell?
What the hell?
I don't know. Assassin's Creed VR.
Yeah.
Mosh Pit Royale.
I get some good ones.
Sounds like a really
that sounds like a
game.
Great time.
Sounds good.
It's like you try to be the last man standing in the mosh pit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I was actually immediately mistakenly thought of crowd surfing. I was like, well, at least you wouldn't get
kicked
a
in
finger
head.
In your butthole on that one. You know, crowd surfers, you crowd surf around, and there's fingers in places. You
absolutely.
Don't want that. Mm. But this is mosh pitting, so it's different. I don't even know why I brought it up.
That's fine. I know you do.
You got fingers, butts. Talk about?
You don't want to get fingered in the air, is what I'm saying.
I'm saying.
But in mosh pitting, you don't get fingered. So again, I don't know why I brought it up.
You just get slammed.
You just get slammed, not fingered.
There you go. Four left.
Four left.
Four left.
Real or fake, boobies edition.
Okay. Orangutitties, though.
Yeah, orangutitties. Come on. Man.
All real.
Metal Warriors Redux.
Okay.
VR German Death Metal Marathon Torture Chamber.
No. No. No, that's way off.
That's you.
That's not. Listen
some
to
schnitzel.
I don't listen
German
to German death metal.
This is probably the most insulting of all.
Oh, God.
Bad music sim.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Now you know what people think about your music taste, man.
You know, they're wrong. That's fine.
German death metal. It sounds like words you like.
I don't like German death metal.
Is it a thing?
Yeah. I just don't like death metal from Germany in general.
Okay, fine.
I prefer it from Sweden.
You don't have to get mad.
So that's it for the VR.
All right.
Well, thanks for doing that. That was
a good time.
Yeah. Thanks for the people that filled that out. That was cool.
Yeah. Fun. Very fun.
So real quick, where's VR going? What's coming out soon?
What we got next?
Well... I think everything is just going to get bigger and better. They've already announced the Vive Pro, which is higher resolution, more cameras, built-in audio, you know, the works.
Wireless too, right?
Yeah, there's a wireless adapter.
Okay.
It isn't part
not
of
natively.
The Vive Pro.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an addition you can get. So I think we're going to get higher resolutions, wireless, so you won't be messing
tethered.
With the cord all the time.
That's a great
improvement.
It's just
going to get better and better, man.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
The wireless thing is, in my opinion, the key improvement. Like,
That's the only thing. When I'm playing in your with your VR in that space, I feel like a dog on a chain, and I have to constantly have that wherewithal to know how many times I've already spun myself into an issue.
There's been some creative solutions. That like the whole backpack PC thing.
Yeah, and like having it on like a type of
trolley. Trolley, but yeah, you know,
track.
Yeah, but then you got to modify your house to like stick things on your ceiling and
So wireless is great. So wireless that's great. Smart. That's come in like less than 2 years that they've already eliminated one of the biggest hassles.
Yeah,
I mean, you can actually already buy a thing called a TP-Cast, which does the same thing for Vive. It's
TP for
just
your bumper.
Wireless.
I gotcha.
You know, but this is going to be like the Vive branded, and supposedly it's going to be like the fastest,
low latency. Yeah, nice.
For those people that said they weren't interested because there weren't any games for them to play, here's a few that are coming out that I'm looking forward to. Ark Park, which is a spinoff of the Ark survival dinosaur video game.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? I went straight Noah with this, and I was like, no, they mean the Covenant, and then it's completely different.
Ark, A-R-K.
Okay.
So it's literally like a VR Jurassic Park. Budget Cuts, which is one that people have been looking forward to a long time. You played the demo. It's you throw knives at robots. You remember that?
Yeah.
You sneaking around in office.
That was fun.
The Inpatient, which is another spinoff of Until Dawn.
Yeah.
It's a prequel.
Prequel.
You play someone inside this mental...
You get pushed around a wheelchair or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That looks really cool. And that's a PSVR exclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the neat things they're doing with that is... If you have options to say to a NPC, like it'll show you what they are, and then you just say them. So you actually like use your voice to talk to people.
That's real smart.
That's cool.
Transference. This game is really mysterious right now. It's got Elijah Wood as part of it.
I've heard something about this. Yeah.
It seems very trippy, kind of spooky, fourth wall breaking. Looks really cool. Valve has 3 games in development.
Of course they do.
Mm.
We have no idea what they are. Everybody...
It's Half-Life 3, Left 4 Dead 3, and Portal 3.
Exactly.
Has to be.
That would be...
The trifecta.
Everybody would go out and buy VR that day. And then for me, I'm most looking forward to Skyrim VR next.
You would be.
On PC.
You would be.
I just hope one of those Valve games is a ring of titties.
Has to be. You know, if you email... what's his name?
Gabe.
Yeah. He reads all his emails, so...
There's no way in hell that man reads all his emails.
That's what they say.
Yeah. No.
He doesn't get up, move around much, so...
Well...
Dearest Gabe.
Maybe.
Orangutan me.
VR.
Did you say orangutan me?
Orangutan me. Dear Gabe.
Nice.
So there you go.
All right.
That's where we're at. Where we're going.
Cool. Well, I think that pretty much does it for the show. Thanks for dropping by, Brian. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely it was.
Sorry if I talked too much.
No, it was good. There's a lot of VR information. Yeah. And if when you do upgrade your Vive or whatever, we'll have you back on and
give
us the old one and you'll tell us all about your new one. And,
yeah, I'll give you the old one for about $500.
Yeah. That's not giving. I don't know if you wouldn't know what giving means.
And we get the computer with it, you said.
I heard him.
All right, so that does it for the show. You can find me at Trav Plays Games.
You can find me at The McAxel.
And me at HokeyBriz.
And all of us together, we are all at Polykill. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. It's easy to find now. It's youtube.com/Polykill Podcast. Rate us on iTunes. That helps. Leave a little blurb. Polykill.com is where you can find pretty much everything we do, and it's usually updated about a week late. cartridgeclub.org, which is obviously short for organism.
Orgasm.
And that's where you can hang out with us. We're there on the forum with all of our Cartridge Club friends. Polykillpodcast@gmail.com is where you can send all of those childhood mischief stories. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you and remind you that you need to book your room for JaCartridgeCon 2018. If you want to go, show up, be there, hang out. We got a lot of cool stuff planned. So please do that. It's the very end of July. You can go to @LatinoLawyers Twitter page. The pinned tweet that he has there on his profile has got the information for registering your room, so please do that. And that's pretty much it, so we'll see you next time, and be sure to check out that Just Beat It video. It's coming out soon.